My dad had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to encourage believers in their faith. That continues to be our purpose, to deliver Dad's timeless messages to the world. Today's sermon, Psalm 97, first aired on my dad's 97th birthday.
I'm Pastor Sainem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour, and I want to give a special welcome because I'm preaching a sermon for my 97th birthday. Next Tuesday, I'll be 97, Lord willing. And so I just hope that you can all stay in and see what it's like to have a guy 97 years old trying to preach. But you know, we always have letters, and we share the letters, we hear from people. And I got a letter that just made me sick. They said, "We like the letters better than the sermon." I threw that letter away, I'm telling you right now. But I know they do like the letters. So let's look at some. The first one today is from Casper, Wyoming. Now listen to this, all you folks. Evolution has been proven scientifically. Please get your pastor to stop knocking on things that are proven science. It's insulting and extremely inaccurate. So I'm going to use a little time, a little extra time, to talk about this evolution thing, because young people are bombarded with this theory all the time. So let's look at it. This man states it as a fact. Evolution has been proven scientifically. And the first thing this gentleman needs to learn is evolution is not a scientific fact. Never has been, never will be. And so first of all, you might say, what is a scientific fact? Well, here's a scientific fact. If I say, if you have nothing, nothing can come out of it. That's a scientific fact. There isn't anything here, nothing can come out of it. I can say a scientific fact, another thing that is would be a scientific fact. Here's a zero. And out of that comes nothing. All you can get out of that is a zero and a zero, nothing and nothing. Now you don't have to be smart to see that. Well, then this scientific fact, that what does the evolutionist say? The evolutionist says, they teach, now listen to me, they teach that from nothing comes something. You wouldn't believe it. From nothing comes something. From zero comes a number, maybe 5, 6, 7. I don't know what comes out. So the truth of the matter is this, and you mark it down, and you young people mark it down and mark it good and heavy. Evolution is not a scientific fact. Let me tell you what it is. It's a delusion. It's a theory. It's a bad theory at that. It's a fairy tale. It's a hoax. It's a lie. That's exactly it. Something comes out of nothing? Good grief. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of the Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, writes this. He says, many scientists are now admitting that evolution is contrary to known laws of science and therefore is not based on science but on naturalism. Evolution, if it is anything at all, is anti-scientific. And Louis Born, director of scientific research in France, is quoted as saying, evolution is a fairy tale for adults. So just take that in fact. Let me close with a scientific fact. I'll give you a scientific fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. That's a scientific fact, Buster. Well, just keep your eyes open. Don't fall for this. Just because they got a PhD or something, that doesn't mean they know they're right at all. They're off base. They're against science. Let me see. I got time for one more. Havana, Cuba. Thank you, the Lord. I've news from you again. I've written to this dear brother 2-3 times. It says, it's been a long time since I got your inspiring letter. The last one was dated November 27th last year. It seemed to be that our mutual letters make a long trip around the world before reaching our hands. However, I'm still enjoying your ministry every Sunday early in the morning on the World Harvest Radio. Thanks a lot for the Christian Worship Hour, the team photo. Tell each of them they have a brother and a sister, my wife Martha, praying for them here in Havana. God bless all of you and pray for the Lord for my wife's health. Have a happy 2018. Looking forward to your inspiring letters from Havana, Cuba, your Christian brother. Now, isn't that a beautiful little letter? It took 6 months to get there. So I always say, next time I'm going to put on postage. So we hope that you'll write to us. And I'm going to give you the name and address and all of the box number and all that at the close of the service, at the close of my message. So get your pencil and paper ready, because we would just love to hear from you. And you might want to send us a gift, because, you know, like James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, well, then they won't give you anything. So if you tell them have a need, then they'll come pouring in. You pay all your bills. And while I'm at it, I want you all to know we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and they go through them, brother, have mercy, and we clear them every time. So what you send goes to what God is telling us, and that is the preaching of the gospel. But let's look at here. By the grace of God, on June 26th, I'll observe my 97th birthday. And so I want to take as my scripture from Psalm 97. And every year I do that, 90, 91, 92, and so on. And you say, are you going all through the Psalms? Yeah, I'm going through them all. I'm going to do the end of them in heaven, because I never get them all done on earth. And it doesn't matter. They're still the Word of God, and they abide forever. And so in the 97th chapter and the verse 12, it says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. And so it tells us here, rejoice, give thanks, and remember. And so I want to just reverse the order and say today, remember, and then give thanks, and then rejoice. So first of all, remember. Remember what? Well, remember the faithfulness of God. That's what this whole psalm was talking about. Remember the faithfulness of God. And you young people, you're building memories. And so when something happens in your life where God really blesses you, whether you help, he's helped you in something, answered to prayer, something like that, you always remember that. Keep that in remembrance. David is a perfect example of this very thing. And you remember the story of David. He slays the giant. He's only a little shepherd boy. Goliath is 9 feet tall. And the Bible says he was a man of war from his youth. So David goes to battle with Goliath. And you know the rest of the story. The story closes with this. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put the armor in his tent. Look at that. He put the armor in his tent. Why would he put the armor, Goliath's armor, in his tent? Well, some people say he did it to brag. Oh, no, he didn't. No, when you look at the story, he gives all the glory to God. Listen to him when he challenges Goliath. He says, thou comest to me with a sword, and with the giant is saying, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. And David says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I'll smite thee and take thy head from thee, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. You know why? As he kept that armor in that tent with his, because he knew that he was the God of Israel, and it reminded him of the great victory that he had in the help of God. All of us can look. I can look back in my life 78 years on something that happened to me, and I hung that in my tent ever since. And it happened on November 11th, 1940, Armistice Day. I was in Bible school in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I remember that morning that I was unseasonably high. It was in the mid-60s. And then, lo and behold, in the mid-60s, the temperature plummeted from the 60s to single-digit degrees. That very day, that very afternoon, there were, first of all, there was rain, then there was sleet, and then heavy snow. And in Minneapolis, they got 16.7 inches of snow, and on top of it all, 50-mile-an-hour winds. And out of that horrible blizzard, 154 people died in the storm, including 49 duck hunters who had started the day in shirt sleeves. And the storm is called the Armistice Day Blizzard of 1940. It's ranked number 2 by the Minnesota Climatology top 5 weather events of the 20th century. I sat in my class that morning and I saw that snow come down in his shovels, big shovels full. And I thought to myself, oh dear Jesus, I'm in big trouble. I have to walk 6 blocks to work and all I have to my name is a flimsy little sweater. No jacket, no coat, no nothing. And I was at my wit's end, and let me tell you what happened. Our rooms were right next to the school, and I walked over to my room at noon after the class, and there was a big package for me. I don't know if I ever got a package a long time. I was at Northwestern in that Bible school. There was a big package. I opened it up. It was a heavy winter coat just my size. And I said, oh, God, if I live to be 100 years, I'm not going to forget this miracle. I've lived 97 and I haven't forgotten them yet. And unless I lose my mind entirely, I'll take it to my grave. You remember the faithfulness of God. And then it goes on. And it says, give thanks to God. And I've got a problem here because God has given me so much and he has been so good to me. I don't know where to start. Well, I guess I do know where to start. My mother. My mother, my earliest recollections is at bedtime when she had a Bible story and a prayer and gave us a kiss. My dear blessed mother, I remember Vernon Egebrotten, a Christian Missionary Alliance evangelist who came to our schoolhouse and had some meetings at night. And I remember when he told about coming to Jesus and accepting Jesus. And I went for the first time I heard the message, I went for, I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for a pastor named Pastor Paul E. Boomer. And he was my high school pastor. And he taught us in high school, you live for the Lord, you stand for the Lord. I'm thankful for my wife, Beulah, with me 59 and a half years. I'm thankful for 4 beautiful children, Sharon, Daniel, Patty, Michael, and I'm thankful for 12 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Oh, yes, it's easy for me to give thanks to God. But I want to spend most of my time rejoicing. And why do I rejoice? I rejoice because of Jesus. Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. He saved my soul for one thing. My soul. I'm going to tell you, my soul is the most important thing I have. It's the most important thing you have. Jesus told us, he said in Matthew 16, verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He's asking 2 questions. He's asking, first of all, what if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? You're a loser, and you're not going to gain the whole world. And the other thing, he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you lost your soul, what can you give to get it back? And you can't get it back because it's sin, and you pay for your sins, and I got sins. I can't pay it back because I'm a sinner. In other words, Jesus is saying, you'll never get it back, but I'm going to do something. That sin is black as sin. That Jesus went to Calvary's cross and he took my sin and he paid for my soul and I got to go to heaven because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. I love Jesus because he saved my soul. And then he came to my heart's door. And in Revelation 3:20, behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your life. That's the door of your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open that door, I will come in And so he says, as many as received him, to them that gave he power to become the children of God. You're not a child of God till you receive Jesus. And how do you receive Jesus? You ask him in. That's what you do. And that's what I did. I was 10 years old. And Jesus knocked at my heart's door. And I went forward and I prayed and I said, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask you, please come into my heart and wash away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my sinful ways. I had a temper. That's one thing among many other things. I'll turn from my sin the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And right then and there, 87 years ago, Jesus came into my heart and my soul. There was nothing emotional. I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see any, have any visions. I didn't get goose pimples, but I took God at his word and he saved my soul. And it is clear to me today as if it happened last night. He saved my soul, this beautiful Jesus. And then what else? He leads me. So it was, that leading began long, long time ago. My journey of life has been 97 years. Long, long old trip, I can tell you. And I have to admit that I haven't always been faithful to Jesus, but he's always been faithful to me. Phil Johnson puts it this way in one of his little songs. The eyes of the Lord are upon me. He sees everything I do. The arms of the Lord are around me. He keeps me safe and secure. And then a little chorus, and it says, and then the little chorus says, and although there are times I've stepped out of his will, I've never been out of his care. And you know what? When I do sin, I go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I tell him, I'm sorry for my sin. And you say, how many times have you done that? Oh, maybe 10,000 times. I don't know. I know every time, every day I sin, and I go to Jesus and I ask him to forgive me. And he tells us in Romans 5, verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That wonderful, beautiful grace of God. And all that time, he's been with me. Jesus leads me. He never gives up on me. And then I went on. Jesus is my best friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I go to him at any time and any place. I'm praying right now that you'll get this message and that you'll open your heart to Jesus and get saved and won't go to hell. That's what I'm praying right while I'm preaching. That's why I stumble around a little bit. I just pray, oh God, talk to these people. By the Holy Spirit, they'll come to Jesus. You can pray to him. Jonah prayed to him from the belly of the whale. Peter prayed to him when he's about to drown. The thief on the cross prayed for him when he was dying on the cross. Daniel was in the lion's den. I don't care where you are. You can pray to Jesus, and that friend never forgets me. And he says, I've called you friends, and he never deserts me. And all I know, I've wandered away at times, but I know that I could always come back, and he always took me back. And so when I'm in my right mind, and when sometimes I think sometimes, oh, he doesn't hear me. I'm talking and I'm praying. I don't think he hears me. But when I know he has never forgotten me if I get my senses right. He has never forgotten me. He sees me when I cry. He hears me when I call upon his name. He's always there. He's my best friend. And another thing, he always listens to me. Some people are too busy to listen to us. And sometimes when I'm alone, I talk to Jesus out loud. Why not? He's right there talking. I talk to him. I live alone. I can just talk all I want. And brother, he hears from me a lot. Elisha Hoffman puts it, a hymn writer says, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and he cares for his own. And you know something else. Jesus answers me every time. He never fails to answer me. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he says I have a better idea. And that's why I close my prayer. And you ought to close your prayer. thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus never slumbers nor sleeps, and he promised never to leave us or forsake us. And something else, Jesus disciplines me often, and you know I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does chasten me, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He scourges every one of us to make us better, not because he wants to hurt us, but he wants to make us more tender. He wants to make us more, to think more of him. Maybe he wants to tell us something. Maybe we're doing something wrong. And sometimes when he talks to us, he talks to us, and he just looks at us. Like with Peter, Jesus looked at Peter, and it broke his heart. He denied him, and he went out and wept bitterly. Just a look. I'm like the little boy. And he was out in his mother's flower garden, had his little spoon, and he was digging up all of her tulips. And all of a sudden, he sensed somebody was watching him turn around, and it was his mother standing there. And a little boy looked at his mother and says, Mother, don't look at me. Don't look at me. And I said, Jesus, don't look at me. I'm sorry for those sins. I wish I wouldn't have done them. I'm sorry I'm so weak. Don't look at me. And that Lord Jesus Christ, he's there to help me. And sometimes Jesus has to speak kind of harshly to us. Yes, he has to speak harshly. You know what he said to Peter? He looked Peter in the eye and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, that was hard. But you know what? Peter was thinking the wrong thing. He's going down the wrong track. He's going to end up in sin. And Jesus is saying, whoa, stop, Peter. Sometimes, but it's always in love. But he'll let you know. You'll know. He'll know it, and I thank him that he disciplines me. And then he loves me. Oh, sure, I got to put that in. He showed me that love in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves us in spite of our sin. You just can't imagine how much he cares for us and loves us, this wonderful Jesus. William Gladstone, one time Prime Minister of England, tells him of announcing the death of Princess Alice, and it illustrates in a faint way the love of Jesus for us. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her own life by breathing the child's breath. But one day when the child was struggling to get her breath, her mother, the mother, totally forgetting herself, took the little one into her arms and to keep her from choking to death. And gasping and struggling for her life, the little girl says, Mama, kiss me. And the mother kissed her, and it took of diphtheria and died within days. And that's the way Jesus is. He went to that cross, the old rugged cross, and he went there because in the Hebrews 12, verse 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He enjoyed going to the cross because he loved us. And the last thing I've got to say, I love Jesus so much because he is so beautiful, so beautiful. And he becomes more beautiful. Gaither's put it like this, since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I can tell you something, from 97 years, he's sweeter as the days go by. Every year he's sweeter, and he loves you, and he loves you. And I'm hearing some of you saying, yes, 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 I want Jesus. I want that Jesus. Here's how you get him. You just come to him in prayer. You just talk to him, to forget thee and the thous, forget it. And just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Say it right now, and I ask you to come into my heart, and I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my sin. Thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you some literature. And we'll pray for you. And if you want the little Bible study, the new song, you will love it. You write to us for that. And we'll just be praying for you all of the time and loving you and caring for you. But just if you have Jesus. And so now I'm going to pray. And in our prayers, we always pray for the persecuted church. And today we're praying for the Palestinian territory, the Christians in the Palestinian territory, many of them dying. So dear Jesus, thank you for saving people. Thank you for saving multitudes of people. I can imagine all over the world, people are making that prayer and you're joining, coming into their heart, and you'll never leave them or forsake them, and we'll see each other in heaven. Praying for the children of the Christian people in Palestinian territory. Lord, help them to know we're praying for them and love them and standing by. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for those who don't know which way to turn. Pray for the young people who are caught up in drugs. Pray for the young people as they make their decisions. Pray for the children of 10 years old like I was and they came to you. Oh, God, have your way in every heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, all right, now we need to hear from you. And by the way, I forgot, you can get us on internet. ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send us a gift anywhere in the world. We'll get an American currency. We pay our bills. But the main thing is we'll hear from you. So we're going to be praying for you, and I'm going to have a wonderful 97th birthday because I know in my heart there are souls all over the world being born again, coming to Jesus. Whosoever call in the name of the Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And if you come to you, your sins will be as scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Thank you for Jesus. And I want you to know Jesus loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I sure love you. I could be off fishing someplace. I wouldn't catch any fish. But I can preach the gospel. And when I use the word of God, I'll get fish all over the world because you'll come to Jesus. And I'm a fisher of men, see, because I'm carrying the word of God. And I'm going to see you someday. And we'll talk about where you lived and what you did and what you thought. Maybe you got mad at my sermon, but then you turned. So God bless you. So look for you next weekend. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.